Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up? Don't sit down. Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting Tuesday here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ann, the Radio Chick. And our call-in line is open, and it's 917-889-3675. And our chat room is open. I want to welcome everyone. We've got ourselves a lot of lineup here. We're going to be talking about Fast and Furious, Occupy Wall Street, and other news items. Want to get started off with a local news item here. A lot of you know that I happen to be a retired police officer, and it really hits me hard when I hear about a fellow officer going down. And this happened yesterday in the 7-5 precinct. Police officer Peter Fugosi was brutally murdered by a drug-hungry perp. He and three other mopes decided to rob another dealer, and when the officer arrived as backup to the burglary, he was shot in the face. So my heart and everything goes out to NYPD, the members of the 7-5 precinct, and Peter Fugosi's family. He was a father of four, and from what everyone has said, he happens to be a fantastic individual, well-decorated. This is the news clip from the incident. Let me play this for you here now.
NYPD officer Peter Fugosi lived. News of his passing moved through, leaving many neighbors literally stunned in its wake.
It's like blank, still blank. What do you do? Yesterday he was here, today he's not. What can you do about it?
It was terribly upsetting, of course, especially since he has the four daughters and all. And all the New York City cops, it's a very dangerous job for them. So I was very upset.
He shot in the left cheek. And the bullet, we believe, exited his rear part of his neck.
As an NYPD officer, Peter Fugosi was having a stellar career on the streets of East New York and Brooklyn with more than 200 arrests, nearly half of them felonies. and 12 medals, including 8 for exceptional police duty. On Midwood Road in West Babylon, New York, where he lived with his wife and 4 daughters, they also used the word exceptional to describe Figowski as a neighbor.
He was a very friendly man. We would always wave to the family, and I could always rely on them to, if I needed to knock on their door for anything. I felt comfortable doing that. And I was very grateful to have his daughters available to babysit my son.
Good guy, good friend, good neighbor. Helped out all he could. Done everything he should for everybody he should. When the snow comes and none of the washes are done, little jobs that had to be done around, you had to worry about getting old Pete to care for you.
Wow. Well, Officer Figowski was shot by a 27-year-old junkie. As I said, he was part of a backup team of officers responding to a break-in in a basement apartment in East New York, which is inside the 75. The owner, who happens to live on the first and second floors, rents out the basement, and the guy that lived in the basement was a dealer. So these 4 clowns, Lamont Pride is his name, showed up. They drove up in a gold car, and the intent was to steal the drugs from the dealer inside the apartment. Well, when the burglar alarm went off, whatever it was, police responded, and their getaway car got blocked in. So they all decide to scatter. Well, 2 are caught inside the apartment. One of them is wrestling with Officer Fugosi's partner was wrestling with one of the perpetrators when he hears a shot being fired and he sees his partner go down. He immediately releases the guy he was fighting with and chases the gunman. And that is when he got shot in the face. When Fugosi got shot in the face, his partner goes, chases him down, and catches him. Well, guess what? None of this should have happened. And the reason being is the month before, Pride had been arrested on drug charges. He had been arrested having drug charges in the presence of a child. So he's got child endangerment as well as drug charges. When the cops bring him in the month before when he was arrested, they run his name and they found there's an outstanding warrant on him out of North Carolina. Well, the warrant was only for North Carolina and the surrounding states of North Carolina. It didn't include New York. So the officers were trying to get North Carolina to expand the warrant and expedite it, and they wanted to be able to hold him until the new warrant came in. They advised the DA that they have a warrant on this guy from North Carolina. They were waiting for it to be expanded so they can hold him. Now, the warrant was saying that, be careful, he may be in possession and armed with a firearm. Well, North Carolina at first doesn't want to expand the warrant, so then they convince them to expand it. The guy goes before the judge before the warrant arrives. The ADA knows that there's an outstanding warrant. He doesn't tell the judge. Now, whether or not the judge did any background check or whatever, releases him on like $25,000 or $50,000 bail. No big deal. Slap on the wrist. Bye. He's gone. He walks. The day later, the expanded warrant shows up. Now he's in the wind. And when the judge released him on bail, he set a court date. This guy, Pride, doesn't show up for the court date. Does anyone turn around and go searching for him? No. They set a new court date for him. So now every single step of the way, the court and legal system let this guy walk. And what happens? We have a cop shot. This should not happen. What is wrong with these people? You know there's a warrant out there. You know he's wanted, and he's known that he carries a weapon. And there's a warrant, he carries a weapon, and the judge and the DA let him walk away. And what happens? A cop gets shot. So now, Peter Figowski, his wife, is a widow. His children have no father. Friends and neighbors have lost the pleasure of his company, all because the legal and court systems let this man go. One good thing, though, They did get, as I understand, the other three members of his posse. So now all four have been arrested. And the worst part is that two of these people that were arrested, when the police responded, it's called a 1013 cop shot, the two that got trapped were hiding. They come out of the woodwork and pretend to be bystanders, just innocent bystanders, watching as the cops were searching for the perpetrators. So this is a complete tragedy that should never, ever have happened. So my heart goes out to the members of the 75 Precinct in Brooklyn, New York. You know, I've done foot posts and everything over there. It's a heavy neighborhood there in East New York. Well, let's just hope that this time these four do not walk away and they spend the rest of their life behind bars for the assassination of Officer Peter Fugosi yesterday. So that goes out to that. Now, I do have a song out here that I want to play, and this song is going to be dedicated to a specific individual, and after I play it, I will explain why. It's by the Monroe Brothers, and the song was written and sung back in 1936. It's called The Forgotten Soldier Boy. So let me play this for a certain Marine who came to our rescue this past Saturday, and I'll explain the story. So this is to Marine Bob out at the Marine Corps Air Station, who did us a tremendous favor Saturday. The Forgotten Soldier by the Monroe Brothers.
I'm just a poor ex-soldier that's broken down and blue. I'm hauled out in the great world war for the old red, white, and blue. I left my parents and my girl I love to France did go, and fought out on the battlefield to the hunger's heat and snow. I saw my buddy dying and some shell shock and torn. Although we never faltered at the battle of a mark, then we were told when we left home, the heroes of a land. So we came back and found no one would lend a helping hand. Gold and silver and bid us all adieu. They said they'd welcome us back home when the terrible war was through. We fought until the war was over. They said we'd won the fight, but we have no job, no money, no place to sleep at night. Called us wandering boys, bum, asking for shelter and bread. Although we fought in no man's land and a maple boy is dead, so listen to my story and lend a helping hand to the poor forgotten soldier boy who fought to save us.
Okay, that goes out to a Marine at the Marine Corps Air Station here in Beaufort, South Carolina, by the name of Bob. And unfortunately, do not know Bob's last name. You know how Marines are. They're very unassuming and very, very humble. And let me explain what the story is. We had a guest staying with us last week, and we had gone to this one restaurant because they were having a steak night. And I got to explain about the restaurant later on. And we were sitting having our meal, and all of a sudden, my husband starts choking. And you have to understand, my husband's 6'3", I'm 5'3", so I'm a full foot shorter than him. And he starts turning red in the face, and he indicates that he couldn't breathe. So immediately I jump up behind him. He stands up. I'm trying to do the Heimlich on him. But the problem is I don't have full use of my right arm. If those of you know that, you know, I was injured in the line of duty. I've consequently had my shoulder replaced, but I still don't have full use of the right arm. So I don't have the full strength. And also being a foot shorter, I was having a hard time doing the Heimlich on him. And I'm struggling. I'm doing about a dozen compressions on the Heimlich. And he's not still being able to fully breathe. Well, our guest, who's taller than me, he's about 6 foot, but he's also disabled. He's trying now. And at that point, this Marine had walked in with his lovely lady friend, and the barmaid turns around and says, "Hey, Bob, you know the Heimlich." He comes over, and about 3 compressions up, the piece of steak comes, and now Yanni can breathe. He actually saved my husband's life. So this Marine just very quietly just slipped away, and I saw him after I made sure my husband was okay and everything, and everything calmed down, went back to normal. I went over to him. I introduced him to him. I handed him my business card, and I said, "You know, I'm right here in Beaufort. Anything you need, just pick up the phone and give me a call." So I'm going out over the air. He's got my business card. He knows about the radio show, and I want to make sure this Marine, he does call me. He is not going to be a forgotten soldier. He never will be a forgotten soldier because he saved my husband's life on Saturday. And I want to thank him for that. Okay, you're listening to Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. And I said, I got to explain about this restaurant. And anyone that comes to Beaufort, anyone that knows the area, the Marine Corps station around here, knows we've got some wacky backwoods individuals. And if, I don't know, Doc Jones, if you came through Paris Island, you came through Yemisi on the train when you went through boot camp or not, but there's a town called Yemisi just outside of Beaufort, and that's where Amtrak comes through. And when they were World War II and everything, and they were bringing by train up through Yemisi the Marine recruits to go to Paris Island Depot. Well, up in Yemisi, there's a gas station called Harold's. And Harold's, every single, what do you want to call it? Every single night after he closed, the town would come around, and they would all bring potluck. And everyone would sit around and have potluck and chat and everything else. And over the years, it got to the point where they were saying, "Hey, you know, Harold, why don't you just, instead of doing the gas station, because you're really not making a lot of money here. You're selling gas. You don't have a lot of cars to repair. Why don't you turn it into a restaurant?" And then Harold thought about it, and he said, "Well, let me try." So one day a week, he would close down the bays, put some tables out, and have potluck. Well, this went on for a number of years, and he says, "Hey, you know, we're getting pretty good at this. We're making more money on the restaurant than we are, you know, on the garage. We're still pumping gas. Everyone wants to come in for gas and pick up their milk, their eggs, their soda, or whatever. Let's expand it." So he expanded it. He started closing down some of the bays and made it, opened up a full kitchen. And over the years, he expanded it all the way. He finally closed down all of the garage. And the name of the restaurant is Harold's Country Club. Believe it or not, it's been written up in Southern Living, in Gourmet, and it's now famous, but it's still an old gas station. Yeah, it still pumps gas. People come in, come to pick up their soda pop, pick up bait or whatever. And Harold's Country Club is an excellent, excellent place. So if anyone ever comes here to Beaufort, South Carolina, they have to stop in at Harold's. You know, that is a must, an absolute must. I do apologize. It seems that my router just went out on me. I just had to reboot my system here. Fortunately, I didn't lose my telephone connection. I want to welcome everyone to the chat room, Antoinette, Doc Jones, Tesler, Thomas. Our call-in line is open. It's 917-889-3675. Right now, I do not have my co-host, and hopefully he'll wake up and give a shout in here. And today we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of different things. And one of them I want to talk about is about Fast and Furious. And there's been a lot been going on about this one. And I've got a, let me see if I can find this clip. I have a bunch of different things here on this. There's an NPR thing here. Here we go. Eric Holder was being grilled by Congress, and this is an NPR recording of that and the newscast that went with it. Let me play this.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Lynn Neary. And we begin this hour in the hot seat. On Capitol Hill, Republicans grilled Attorney General Eric Holder today about the botched gun trafficking operation known as Fast and Furious. In that effort, federal agents tried to build cases against drug cartels, but lost track of hundreds of weapons in the process, and some of those guns turned up at crime scenes along the border. NPR's Carrie Johnson reports on today's heated hearing.
Eric Holder got a bruising reception from the Republican-dominated House Judiciary Committee. California Republican Daryl Issa, who's been leading the investigation of Fast and Furious, wanted the Attorney General to take a formal oath to tell the truth. He later declared Holder a hostile witness.
The blame must go to your desk, and you must today take the real responsibility. Why haven't you terminated the many people involved?
Issa brought up a letter the Justice Department sent to Congress in February. The letter said the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, or ATF, moved whenever it could to seize guns before they went to Mexico. But that turned out to be false, and the Justice Department took it back. Holder made clear he's since laid down the law.
Allowing guns to walk, whether in this administration or the prior one, is wholly unacceptable. The use of this misguided tactic is inexcusable, and it must never happen again.
Holder got some support from a group of big city police chiefs sitting behind him, wearing their blue dress uniforms. And Democrats on the panel tried to intervene, too. Here's Michigan's John Conyers.
If we're going to criticize ATF, I think we must work to revitalize it, not to tear it down.
The Attorney General asked Congress to confirm a nominee to lead ATF to pass new laws against gun traffickers and to stop interfering with a rule that forces gun dealers in four border states to report multiple sales of long guns. But Issa, the California Republican, says Holder's priorities are in the wrong place.
This administration is more interested in talking about gun control than actually controlling the drugs and guns that they had control over.
Wisconsin Republican Jim Sensenbrenner got down to the bottom line.
What are you going to do to clean up this mess?
Well, first let me make something very clear. Nobody in the Justice Department has lied.
Why was the letter withdrawn?
The letter was withdrawn because there's information in there that was inaccurate. The Justice Department letter of February...
Okay, well, tell me what's the difference between lying and misleading Congress in this context.
Well, if you want to have this legal conversation, it all has to do with your state of mind.
Republicans pointed out that next week marks the anniversary of the death of U.S. Border Patrol agent Brian Terry. Two guns linked to Fast and Furious were found near his body, and his death propelled Congress to start digging into the gun operation. Holder says some lawmakers have gone too far.
It is unfortunate that some have used inflammatory and inappropriate rhetoric about one particular tragedy that occurred near the southwest border in an effort to score political points.
11 months into the congressional investigation of Fast and Furious, there are few signs Republicans are letting up. They say they want Holder's emails as they try to go up the ladder at justice. Carrie Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
All right. Excuse me. Notice how Holder keeps on deflecting things. He doesn't answer. He refuses to take an oath. When in his testimony before Congress, he refuses to tell the truth. You know, put your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Maybe it's the word God in that oath that he doesn't agree with, but he refuses to take an oath to tell the truth. So now, if he doesn't tell the truth, Congress can't get him for lying. They can't charge him with perjury because he didn't swear to tell the truth. Ah, notice the nuances here. And what is the difference between misleading and lying? And he's telling you it's a state of mind? Huh. Very interesting. The way he just parses his words. I'm telling you, Holder knows a lot more about this than he is saying, and he doesn't want you to know that. Now, remember a while back, I had played a clip. It was his assistant attorney general, David Ogden, who stood before Congress and testified. He testified about Fast and Furious. This was back in March of 2009, and it was the Senate hearing. Also, he stood on a podium in front of the media and made these statements. This was March 29th, 2009, concerning Fast and Furious, Eric Holder, and President Obama.
The President has directed us to take action to fight these cartels, and Attorney General Holder and I are taking several new and aggressive steps as part of the administration's comprehensive plan. Those steps include the following. DOJ's Drug Enforcement Administration, which already has the largest U.S. drug enforcement presence in Mexico, with 11 offices in that country, is placing 16 new DEA positions in southwest border field operations, specifically to target Mexican trafficking and associated violence. The DEA is also deploying 4 new mobile enforcement teams to specifically target Mexican methamphetamine trafficking, both along the border and in U.S. cities impacted by the cartels. DOJ's Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives is increasing its efforts by adding 37 new employees in 3 new offices using $10 million in Recovery Act funds and redeploying 100 personnel to the southwest border in the next 45 days to fortify its Project Gunrunner, which is aimed at disrupting arms trafficking between the United States and Mexico. ATF is doubling its presence in Mexico itself, from 5 to 9 personnel working with the Mexicans specifically to facilitate gun tracing activity, which targets the illegal weapons and their sources in the United States.
Now, notice they called it gun runner and they called it gun tracing. It was straw purchases. And we got a caller coming in on the line. Let me bring this individual in. Good afternoon. You're listening to Southern Sense. I'm your host, Ann. Who am I speaking to? If this is you, Thomas, you are very faint. I can hardly hear you.
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better.
How's that?
That's a lot better, Thomas. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. I'm sorry. I had my mic up beside my head, way up by my ears. Sorry about that. Well, I wanted to call in because I want to speak on Eric Holder for a minute. Eric Holder is the type of individual that gives really educated young black men and women a bad name, especially if we're conservative. Now, he's a socialist, Marxist, lying pig that crawled out from under some sleazy rock, or, you know, I think the Obama administration must have pulled him from the lowest forms of the trash heap or something, because the dude's an idiot. He makes Dan Quayle seem like an all-American Rhodes Scholar.
So, in other words, you don't like him.
I cannot. I despise him. He's a liar. He is a liar. And I cannot stand him. And well, just listening to him stutter, because I've seen some of it on TVs and listening to the interview now, you can tell that he's lying when he keeps deflecting. That's what liars do. They deflect because they're liars.
Well, they're going to have a lot of problems, and I'm telling you, not everything is known yet about what's going on at the Bureau of Alcohol, Firearms, and Tobacco, or the DOJ. Now, they had, next to Daryl Issa, they had boxes, 5 boxes of forms and information sent by one gun dealer to the Senate committee. And next to him on the other side was a single box. That single box was all the information provided by DOJ. So you've got one individual gun dealer handling his one store and those one purchases, providing 5 boxes of information compared to the Department of Justice providing only one box, the same size boxes, but one box of information. There is a big problem here. They are not releasing all the documents. In some cases, they're refusing to release documents. And it was Darrell Issa who labeled Holder a hostile witness. I mean, there's going to be a lot more coming out.
And you know what, Annie? I hope and I pray when Obama loses, I hope they snatch Eric Holder and they prosecute him. In fact, I wouldn't mind seeing him tried for treason.
Well, there have been words of possible impeachment. Now, there's a Representative Ted Poe who brought up that.
Oh, yeah.
And there's approximately 50 senators and representatives that are now getting together and starting to say impeachment on Eric Holder. Let's see. Poe called Eric Holder not believable. He stated he dodged the questions. I don't believe he was his candidate. I was hoping he would be on difficult questions. And then he said they should start to contemplate, you know, whether or not to impeach him. Let's see. What is else? However, virtually all the weapons that went missing have been involved in hundreds of crimes in the United States and south of the border. Now, you got to remember, there's 200 Mexican civilians that have been murdered with these guns that we know of, that we know of. And when I first started reporting on this, which was back in the end of January, beginning of February of this year, shortly after Agent Brian Terry was assassinated, and also Officer Jamie Zapata was killed with one of these weapons, we started talking about this. And at that time, I'm thinking February, March, we had documented approximately 13 crimes here north of the border that have occurred in the United States concerning fast and furious weapons. Lord
wow.
knows how many more have been committed between that time frame and now. And at that time, they were saying, oh, it was about 800 guns. And then it went up to 1,300 guns. Now they're saying 2,000 or more.
Wow.
This is going to blow really, really, really big.
And you know what? Let me share something with you. When I when Obama was elected, I was so angry. I cried because two things. And I was I'm a wax philosophical for a minute. And actually, what that means, I'm a speak religiously for a minute. When I cried that day, after he was elected, and I cried because I literally, it was like watching a TV show, and it's kind of like, okay, I know what this guy is about, and people are going to get exactly what they asked for. What I'm saying is this, and I kid you not, because I was talking to my cousin on the phone. Everything that's happening, and I said these words to her, I said, this administration will go down as the most corrupt in the history of our country. I spoke those words to her. Because it was something about Barack Obama that when I saw pictures of him, and this is the reason why you'll never see Barack Obama look directly into the camera, because if you look into the man's eyes, you can see that he's a liar. He was manipulating and he was a con from the beginning. And it just so disgusted me. I cried, and I cried because a lot of conservatives were just set back, and they were so afraid of being called racist that they didn't stand up against the man. I stood up against him, got slaughtered, but who cares? Because he doesn't represent what the true values of this country stand for. And so, sorry about my little rant, but Eric Holder, he's just an extension of Barack Obama. He's a sniveling little weaseling rat.
Well, I have a little clip here to help back that up a little bit. Again, this is the very same David Ogden that stood on the news podium talking about Fast and Furious, or at that time it was called Gun Runner. All right? This is the same month he's in a Senate hearing, and testifying about this project. And this is March 2009. Now, Eric Holder is claiming he had no knowledge of gun runner, gun walker, gun talker, whatever they want to call it, wide receiver. They had about 15 different names. It was the same exact program, same exact agents. They just switched the name on it. Now, this is David Ogden in front of the Senate hearing.
Mr. Ogden, I want to make sure that you have the resources to address gun crimes, and rather than ask for new gun laws, I am glad to see, like, Project Gun Runner is being discussed. I'm glad to see that you're working on working to find folks that smuggle drugs. I think that's critically important. Smuggle weapons, I think it's critically important. I'm a firm believer in getting the biggest value for the buck that we spend when it comes to taxpayer dollars. But I think there's a lot of folks in my state that think that's money well spent to go get the bad guys.
Thank you, Senator. We certainly agree that aggressive enforcement of the gun laws that are on the books, getting at this smuggling through the E-Trace system, which is the ATFE system for identifying where an illegal gun, a gun that's been used illegally, a gun that's in Mexico that's seized, how it was sold, tracking down that process to try to find the gun smugglers, the gun runners, critically important.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that a lot for a lot of different reasons.
Now, they're talking about this back in March of 2009, all right? And they're saying that,
right.
Hey, you know, yeah, we all know about it. We all know about it. But,
right.
But, yeah, how can Eric Holder say he has no knowledge of it, and yet a full year prior, his own assistant was talking about it in front of a Senate hearing?
Right. Exactly.
And right now,
that's one of those things. Oh, I'm sorry.
It's been a full year, almost a full year of an investigation, and Holder is still not coming forward and swearing an oath to testify, to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He is still withholding documents. He's got to go. He has got to go.
Right.
They've got to actually clean out the whole DOJ. You know, I'm looking at some of the crap that he's been doing, and Greta had Representative Steve King on, and this is a clip. I don't think I have the clip uploaded. She played a video clip for him of Daryl Issa asking Eric Holder information, and Eric Holder, Daryl Issa starts to say, and he says, "Mr. Attorney General," Eric Holder snaps in, "I was in the middle of making an answer, I think," and Issa looks, goes, you are in the middle of filibustering." He wasn't even answering the questions. He was just talking for the sake of talking and killing time and hoping they will convene the hearing, go into a recess, and him having not answered a single question.
Right, right. And that's the thing I can't stand about him. You know me. I like to talk as well, we're radio show hosts, but at least we have a purpose when we're talking. I can't stand hearing someone talk just to hear themselves talk. You know? And maybe I'm just too harsh, but I don't know. What do you think, Ann?
I don't think you're too harsh, honestly. You know, but there has to be an end point, middle, and end, starting point, middle point, end point when you're making a statement. But instead, he was just simply talking for the sake of talking, hoping to delay, to obfuscate, I can't even say the word, to blur everything over and confuse
right.
everyone enough so that they thought they had the question answered when the question was never, ever answered. You know, it's that Charles Durning song, "Oh, Now You See Me, Now You Don't," from the Best of the
right.
Warehouse in Texas. That's exactly
yeah.
what he's doing. Matter of fact, I do have that song here. Let me see if I can pull that one up, because this is perfect for Eric Holder. And as I search for this, this is not going fast enough. But if anyone's ever watched The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, they've got to see Charles Durning when he sings this song. And whenever you think of a politician, when you go to the voting booth and you're getting ready to make your vote, think of Charles Durning when he sings this song. And almost there, almost there. Nope, I'm not finding it. Oh, man, that doesn't matter. Instead, what I'm going to do is, because I've got someone coming in on the line, finally, and I'm playing this to welcome him aboard.
Okay, Dwayne, we're going to try it once more. Just remember now, introduce yourself and read what's on the paper in front of you. You got it?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, fine. Dwayne Stump, Substance Abuse Awareness Campaign, this is take 9. Dwayne, that's your cue.
Oh, right. Anytime you're ready.
We're ready, Dwayne, go.
Oh, hi. This is Dwayne Stump of Blacktooth. Kids, when you drink and drive...
No, Dwayne. No, cut. It's not when you drink and drive.
Oh, all right. Let me do it again.
Yeah, good idea. This is Dwayne Stump, BSA, take 10.
Hi, this is Dwayne Stump. When I drink and drive, I'll...
Cut, Dwayne. Dwayne, this spot is supposed to be against driving while intoxicated.
What?
Never mind. We'll do it one more time. And remember, say, don't do drugs. And if you must drink this holiday weekend, don't drive. You got it?
I told you I got it.
Fine. Dwayne Stump, PSA, take, 11.
Hi, I'm Dwayne Stump telling you, if you do drugs this weekend, don't drive.
Wrong again, Dwayne. It's don't do drugs. Don't do drugs.
That's what I said.
No, it's not. It's not even close to what you said.
You come in this booth, I'll show you how close it was, Sherlock.
We're going to do it again, Dwayne. Say, don't do drugs. If you must drink this holiday weekend, do not drive. Take 12.
This is Dwayne Stump. Weekends are for drunks. Do drugs.
Okay, Dwayne, thank you very much for coming in. I think with a little editing, we've got something we can use.
Don't do drugs. And if
you must drink
this holiday weekend, don't.
Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Well, what a wonderful intro. I love that as much as we've listened to that. Oh, man. I'm sorry you couldn't find Charles Durning.
Charles Durning?
Many years later, that is still so true as far as that song from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. I think of that whenever, almost every time a politician gets asked a question, anywhere, I think of that. Because I really, very rarely does a politician address the exact question point blank and give you the answer that the question was meant for. They're still always spin. Or, yeah, we're going to get tough over here, and we're going to get tough over here. Well, how about this? Well, you know, you can't be too rough on all this stuff. It takes time. That's when I hear that song you were looking for. That's the things I think of.
I did find Charles Durning, but what made me really think of this when I was listening to the testimony by Eric Holder was when Daryl Issa was asking him whether or not he was misleading, it was misleading, or it was an outright lie. And he turns around and he answers, you know, it's a state of mind, you know. It reminds you of Clinton's what is. How do you define is? And that's all they're doing. They're trying to rewrite our vocabulary. It's absolutely amazing. But I did find Charles Durning, I Love a Little Sidestep is the name of the song from the Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Let me play this, because I want everyone, when they go to listen to a politician, let this song play in your head every single time they open their mouth.
Ladies and gentlemen, His Excellency, the Governor of Texas.
My friends, I want to thank you for that sincere and heartwarming ovation.
No questions, please.
Governor, what do you think of the crisis in the Middle East?
I was saying just this morning at the weekly prayer breakfast in this historic capital that it behooves both the Jews and the Arabs to settle their differences in a Christian manner.
Governor,
we got
have you seen the evidence of the disgraceful situation at the chicken ranch?
Fellow Texan, I am proudly standing here to humbly see. I assure you, and I mean it. Now who says I don't speak out as plain as day? And fellow Texans, I'm for progress and the flag. Long may it fly. I'm a poor boy, come to greatness. So it follows that I cannot tell a lie.
What the hell did he say?
Same as usual, not damn thing.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I'm bound and bound. Behooves me to be solemn and declare I'm for goodness and for profit and for living clean and saying daily prayer. And now, my good friend, you can sleep like I'll be to you. You can stand tall, you can trust me, for I promise I shall keep a watchful eye upon you.
I hear him talking, but he don't come in.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't know. And gone. Ooh, I love to sleep around the white step. A little quiet, then leave the people on.
There he is. Come on, boy.
Governor, Governor, tell the people. Watch those news.
Why has the chicken ranch operation been so long? We seem to be having some acoustic problems in here.
Aren't you afraid of possible payoffs and bribes?
Now then, I'm sorry. Enough of this pussyfooting, Governor. What do you intend to do about Miss Mona and the chicken range?
Now, Miss Mona, I don't know her. Though I've heard the name, ooh, yes. But of course I have no close contact. So what she is doing, I can only guess. And now Miss Mona, she's a blemish on the face of that good town. I am taking someone somewhere's gonna have to close her down.
Can you believe that, man?
Is that a yes or no?
It's possible, maybe.
Ooh, I love to dance a little sidestep. Now they see me, now they don't. I'm come and gone. Ooh, I love to sweep around the white step. Cut a little cloth and leave the people on. I love to dance a little sidestep. Ooh, I love to sweep around the white step.
I love that one.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here dancing in my chair.
How true is that? I mean, oh my goodness.
Jeez. But you can't help it. Now every single time you look at a politician, you're hearing them talk, you're going to hear that song in the back of your head.
And it's the same way. I mean, if in an hour from now, if we turn on the show,
and one of the politicians gets asked the question, they just continue to sidestep absolutely positively everything. I mean, it is rarely that they look you right in the eye and answer the question as asked.
Yeah, and watching this whole big thing with Fast and Furious, especially when listening to Eric Holder with his testimony, you hear the song over and over again. He doesn't say anything. He's avoided every direct question. And he's absolutely downright lied. But then he says, oh, it's not a lie. It's a state of mind, whether or not I'm misleading or lying. Is it an accidental mislead or is it an actual lie? It's a state of mind. I like that one. That goes down with Clinton's depends upon how you define is. What is?
Well, I mean, lying to these people, it's as natural as, a criminal does his thing or a pathological liar does his thing. I mean, lying to these people is nothing. I mean, most of them are not even good at it. But what has happened is the public has become so stupid, just outright dumb, ignorant, that they believe almost anything that is on television. I mean, that's actually how we got into the mess that we are simply in, is when we get in awe of what's on television or what we're being told by these politicians, rather than really seeing through their lies for what they really are. And Eric Holder, I don't even want, we could do two shows on this guy.
Oh, that's really hands down easy. Because if anyone wanted to know about my research on Fast and Furious, and this is not everything. This is just salient facts that I thought, this folder is about an inch and a half thick. I've got one for just, NRA guns or whatever, any legislation coming up. That's not as thick as the Fast and Furious. And the Fast and Furious, I'm telling you, it's going to blow up wide up. Holder's going to go down. He's going to probably end up biting the bullet to prevent Obama from having anything. They're looking now for Lanny Brewer, stating that he botched up everything. He showed incredibly poor judgment and so on and so forth. So Lanny Brewer is going to be thrown to the wolves. They've already sacrificed Melsom. Melsom was the acting BATA chief. They were trying to get this guy Andy Pravner in there. He was the BATF chief in Chicago. Now, notice how everything goes back to Chicago. He was a anti-gun person, but he was in charge of the BATF in Chicago. No. Okay, that's putting in charge of the hen house. They wanted him to be the BATF overall chief, and the Senate kept on holding up his approval. They kept on holding up, saying, no, we're not too thrilled with it because he's anti-gun and so on and so forth. He's going to come up with more rules and regulations, make it harder to have a gun and so on and so forth. So they really stalled it. So they put Melsom in there in his place. Now, Melsom has direct knowledge about Fast and Furious. And you got to remember, it was back in July. He showed up before ISA and Grassley in secret testimony. It's sealed. It has not been unsealed yet. I'm telling you, there is a time bomb in there. There is going to be a huge time bomb in there. Now, there's going to be another person that's going to go down. I'm telling you, Lanny Brewer. That's another head that's going to roll. Now, the agent in charge, Dennis Burke, has already resigned. Napolitano is being shielded. She claims she didn't know anything about it. And DOJ is kind of like, yeah, well, we really didn't talk about this too much. Explain to me how his assistant, David Ogden, goes before the press on March 29th, 2009, and talks about Fast and Furious. At that time, it was called Gunrunner. Then he goes in front of the Senate and testifies. Same month, March 2009. Now, Agent Terry was murdered back in December 2010, and Jamie Zapata was right after him. Now, they knew that Fast and Furious guns were found with Terry and Zapata. They knew it. Tell me how Eric Holder, in charge of the DOJ, in such an important thing, it's going to be on the news, it's going to be all over the press and everything else, how he cannot know this is traced directly back to his program.
Well, they just, the bottom line is, they don't care. It's when you can get away with, when we these people have gotten away with, it's everything you just said. It's right out there for us to see. I mean, was it such a challenge for you to dig up all this information? A lot of people could have researched and done the same thing. But, I mean, the bottom line is that this is right there in front of us. But the American public just don't give a damn. You know, Annie, even if we've become such a self-absorbed individual nation that even if they go into our house, kill every member of our family but us, all we are is happy that we survived. I mean, and the sad part about it is we got to be one nation, one people. We're all not going to agree alike. But when it comes to protecting the borders and protecting the states from invasion, when it comes to defending the Constitution of the United States, if you think about it, the Founding Fathers wrote the Constitution with the biggest enemy in mind, not the enemy abroad, but the enemy within. And that's the politicians. And
exactly.
Here we are. I mean, here we are.
Exactly, exactly. And now to shuffle people around and I guess to buy their silence or to confuse the investigation, the three main supervisors, William McMahon, William Newell, and David Voth, were not only transferred out of there, but they were brought to Washington and promoted, the very three supervisors in charge of the program. And worst part is McMahon was placed in a position where he's in charge of the investigation of Fast and Furious. Does this make any sense? Of course. You know, why don't you just investigate yourself?
Those would be nice jobs to have, Annie, where we can investigate ourselves. It's no different than a couple of years ago, our own police chief, he made some error on something. I don't know what it is, and they made kind of a stink about it. It was just a one-day thing in the newspaper and then went away. But he apparently, because of this, gave himself a verbal warning, and he wrote it down.
let me just slap my own hand. Here we go.
Yeah, so I'm thinking to myself, okay, I thought, you know what? Okay, everyone knows Cool Mike is an asshole, so I call him. And I told him I acknowledged myself as a taxpayer, and I said I think it was a big scam and he's an idiot. And then I followed up by, who did you tell that you gave this verbal warning to? I said, how did anyone find out about it? Isn't that done in confidence? Basically, he called the media and said, yeah, I gave myself a verbal warning. He released a press release. Okay. It's no different than these people. They evaluate themselves. Okay. I mean, what kind of joke is this? And the reason I brought that up is because it's just to show it goes at the local level, too, on just how crooked and corrupt everything is. I mean, it needs to be burned down to ashes and just rebuilt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I also reported back a while back, there is a, I'm trying to find the name of this thing. There is a gun shop owner who's sitting in prison. Because he cooperated with the BATF. He cooperated with them. He said, hey, listen, you know, some of these sales here is fugazi. I'm telling you, there's these guys coming over here, they're buying guns, and I don't think they're doing what they claim to be doing. But instead, they said, all right, no problem, sell them the gun. Sell them the guns. It turns out one was a police chief, one was a mayor, and I forget who the other one was. And they were bringing the guns over to their family, and the family was smuggling them across the border into Mexico. This guy notified the BATF, told them all about it, said, here's all the paperwork. And they said, go ahead, the sales go through. Now they arrested him for gun trafficking, and he's sitting in prison. Can you believe this? A guy who cooperated and did everything that they told him to do, and he's sitting in prison because he did everything right. We just lost Cool Mike. Okay, I hope he will call back in. I'm trying to find the name of that poor gun shop owner, but I will find it eventually. I mean, we can do days upon days upon days upon this whole scandal. Operation started off Fast and now they call it Fast and Furious. It was originally called Wide Receiver. Then it became Gun Walker, Gun Talker. Had half a dozen different names. It's the same program. All they did was just change the name of the program.
A story, The story you have just seen is true. The name
has been changed to protect the guilty. You just can't make this stuff up. This is real, folks. This is what is going on in reality. And there is a purpose behind it. And the purpose is to deprive you of your Second Amendment rights. That's the whole purpose on it. Right now, the BATF has four states, Arizona, Texas, New Mexico, and California, and they have separate reporting to the BATF. If they sell long rifles, if they sell certain types of firearms, they have to do double the paperwork than any other gun dealer throughout the United States. They have a separate requirement for those four specific states. Why? It all traces back to this program, Gunwalker, Gun Talker, Fast and Furious, whatever you want to call it. You can call it Holder's Mess. And now these four states, these honest businessmen are being penalized because Holder and his crew screwed up big time. Short term, they're going to have, let's see, he's seeking three things, basically. This is a Cloward and Piven type of thing. First off, they want to divide us. They want everyone to turn around and go, oh, my God, guns are dangerous. No one can have a gun because see what happens? They go into the hands of the criminals. Shame, shame, shame. Guns are bad. They're going to try to limit your ability to own a firearm. They're going to divide and conquer. So everyone's going to go, all right, for safety's sake, we'll start off with making sure everyone registers the guns. They'll start off very, very small. Get you to register your guns. Next, they're going to make you register whenever you buy ammunition. And slowly and surely, they're going to start whittling around. And then when something happens and say, oh, you can't have automatic weapons, then they'll take the automatic weapons away. And then something else will happen. Oh, no, 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 you can't have shotguns. They'll take those away. You can still own certain guns, but you can't own the guns they feel that you shouldn't own. Sooner or later, they're going to do the very same thing that they did in England. Now, no one owns a firearm. I came across an article in the NRA magazine, and this is exactly what happens. Now, if you want to take, this is how it goes. This guy wrote an article, and he said, if you want to take your son on his first deer hunt, you must apply to your local chief of police for permission. If you hand your son a rifle without having him have his own license, he will be in illegal possession of a firearm, a crime punishable for up to 5 years in prison. So you cannot even physically hand your gun to your child or to anyone else. They have to have their own license. They have to go down to the local police department and apply for a license. You've got to explain why you want a license. You can't even purchase a firearm before you have a license. And then when you go to buy a gun, oh, this is even all the more fun. You have to go down to the police department, fill out the application to get approved, and tell them you want to buy a firearm. Not a firearm. You have to be specific on the firearm. Say, for example, you want a .45 caliber handgun. You've got to explain why you are buying it and what you are buying. Now, you go to the gun dealer, and the gun dealer says, no, you don't want a .45. You know, we've got this .44 Magnum that I think will work better for you. Why don't you buy the .44? You can't purchase it. You've got to go back to the police department, back to square one, and say, all right, I'm not going to buy the .45. I want to get this .44. And you've got to explain why. And that police department, that little tiny podunk town, can turn around and say, no, I don't like you. No, I don't have to have a reason. I'm just going to, say, nope, you can't have it. That's what they want to try to do to us here.
Well, and obviously, the reason the Second Amendment is in the Constitution as writ, it had nothing to do with hunting. It had nothing to do with anything except for protecting the citizens against what's taking place now called tyranny, period. That's in the Constitution so we are able to retaliate against overbearing government, period.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, if you remember, you may be a little bit too young, but this was back in the 80s. There was a series of incidents where someone did not have their gun safeguarded or something like that. It turns out these were illegal guns to begin with, people that should not have had them, criminals that had them. And children had gotten a hold of the weapons and had been a couple of shooting instances. I think it was where one brother had shot the other brother playing with the firearm. And then they came out, and New York was doing this, that you had to have a gun lock on your gun. All right? So in order to use your firearm, you had to find a key, put the key into the lock, and remove it from the trigger guard. Otherwise, you couldn't use your firearm. Now, imagine you're in the middle of the night and someone's breaking into your house. You wake up, now you're going to scramble for a key, get it into the trigger guard in the dark, remove the lock from the trigger, and then be able to use your firearm. Now, I can understand if you have children in the house, you want to make sure the guns are definitely safeguarded. If you're someone like me where I don't have kids in the house, it's just my husband and I, and we want to be able to reach real fast, I'm not putting a trigger guard on there. I'm not putting a gun lock on it. I'm sorry. If I have kids that I know they're going to come to my house, I'm going to put them away where no one knows where they are. I'm going to safeguard them. I'm a smart, responsible owner. But they did this in New York. Now they're going to try to do it. I'm telling you, they're going to try to get everyone else to do the same thing. And it'll go to the same extreme that they now have currently in England. In England, you have to have your firearm in one safe, a locked safe, and your ammunition has to be in a separate safe locked away. We just lost Mike again. I hope he's able to call back in. I think he's on his cell phone. So if you can't hear me, Mike, call back in. And this is what they're going to try to do. They're going to try to separate you from your Second Amendment rights. They already have this here in England. You know, 20 years ago, people were allowed to own freely firearms. And you were able to go hunting wherever you know, if you were on someone's estate and they said, let's go shoot some quail or something like that, yeah, no problem. 20-some-odd years later, it only took them 2 decades to remove their right to bear arms. And they're trying to do that here. And you know how they're going to do that? They're not going to be able to do it through our own laws. They're going to circumvent our laws, and they're going to do it through the UN. Watch the news. I'm telling you, they're going to go and circumvent our Second Amendment rights and violate them by going to the UN. Currently in the UN, there is a small group that is putting together a small arms treaty. And this small arms treaty, it will be enough to scare the bejesus out of you. I'm telling you that right now. They're going to require registration of all firearms, which means it's going to be an international registration. Your name and the fact that you own firearms and what you own will be available to rogue nations. So can you imagine, say, for example, someone in Iran gets a hold of this registration list. And, oh, let's see, we want to cause havoc in, say, Philadelphia. Let's see, who owns what in Philadelphia? Whose house can we break into and steal it? They're already trying in a lot of places to make public concealed weapons permit carriers or anyone who has a weapons permit. They're trying to make that through Freedom of Information Act public information, which means that anyone can get a hold of this and find out who has a permit. All right, so I know that she lives over at this house or he lives over at that house. No cars in the driveway. All right, let's go get ourselves a couple of easy firearms. They're only going to make this easier for the criminals and for the terrorists. Well, now, they're going to have an international registry. And not only an international registry for the firearms, they're going to restrict the type of weapons that can be bought and sold. And not only just the weapons, what type of ammunition can be bought and sold. Also buried in this treaty is eventual confiscation of firearms. Now, take a look. I'm telling you, it's coming out, I believe, in July next year. And Hillary Clinton is pushing for it. She's one of the ones behind this small arms treaty currently in the U.S. And Thomas has a comment. Thomas, what is your comment?
Here's one little problem that the United Nations is overlooking. Now, I'm gonna be very blunt for a minute. They're used to dealing with people in other countries who act like a bunch of sniveling little leeches who let them control and do whatever they want to because they've been beaten down so much by the tyranny of their governments that they can't fight back. But the United Nations, if they open up that can of worms, they will, I'm telling you. See, this is the thing, Annie, that really irritates me about the left and about other people. They underestimate the resolve of the American people. They talk about, well, that's what they want. They want us to get angry so they can declare martial law. One thing that they don't realize, this isn't Hollywood. Our military will side with the people before they ever side with the corrupt government. So this is what they have to take into consideration, because if they try to impose any law, international law, on this nation when it comes to our Second Amendment rights, they will have a fight on their hand, which I don't think they really want to deal with.
Well, already they are trying to use international law here in the United States. Look at the case of immigration, these lawsuits. Right, Mike? Am I right? Where they're using other nations trying to sue in our courts over immigration. And I lost Cool Mike again. He's having a problem with his phone. Ah, it's one of those days. It is one of those. But they are. They're trying to use international law already. They're already trying to enforce Sharia law here in the United States. And
right.
This is just another step all in that direction. I mean, what is it? Mexico is suing South Carolina and Arizona and Alabama over immigration, saying it's inhumane. Meanwhile, they have tougher laws in Mexico than we have here.
They shoot people if you're caught. Are you put in prison? So that if I was the defense lawyer for the United States, I would pull out their law. I would pull out their immigration law, go slam it on the court, on the judge's desk, and now say, excuse me, they're suing us, saying our law is too tough when they kill people. And they also put them in prison just for coming over the border?
But the only problem with that is, who is our attorney for the United States? Eric Holder.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
See?
Exactly. And that's why I'm telling you, you've got to be careful and watch out for the Small Arms Treaty, because if they get it through the U.N., as Hillary Clinton and Obama wants to do and Eric Holder wants to do, they will try to use the back door to make it law. Yes, any treaty has to go before the Senate to be ratified. But here's the kicker. The Senate can turn around and refuse to ratify it, deny it. It gets shelved. Now you get a Democratic Senate in. They're going to pull it back out and say, let's ratify this treaty now. We've got the majority in the Senate. And they will pull it back out and try it again. If they can't do it through the front door, they will then go through the back door doing the same thing they're allowing happen with immigration and letting international countries come in and sue us over our own laws and policies.
See, I'm telling you, you know what?
Yes.
It's a matter of time. You're about to see a really powerful law that's about to kick into place. And you know the whole gravity situation. What goes up must come down.
Mm-hmm.
The law of gravity, as they call it. Well, there is another law. It's under many names. Some call it karma. Some call it you reap what you sow. And others call it what goes around comes around. I'm going to tell you this, Annie, and I've seen this firsthand, and I've actually watched it happen. When you sow seeds of discord and destruction and you try to hurt other people, it comes back to you in a far worse way. And a lot of these atheists and other people who don't believe in a higher power, but yet they want to play around with things like the occult and psychic tarot reading cards and all that stuff. And he, as somebody who was a victim to that stuff, I can tell you this, it's real. And the liberals and their reckless abandonment for, you know, their reckless disregard for our nation, they're opening themselves up to something that
you've got. What they fail to realize is, very simply, Einstein's theory of relativity is one thing that they have never learned. They have never learned Einstein's theory of relativity. For every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction.
Exactly.
And they're pushing on this, and they're pushing so far to the left that they're now finding us pushing back and saying, no, you've got to come back along here. You know, we will compromise in certain things. But our basic principles and on the tenets that this country was built upon is what we must stand on. This is the, that
right.
is the center of the road. The Constitution is the center of the road. You're going to try
right.
to push on one side, and we're trying going to prevent them from pushing too hard on the other side. We must keep to the road that was built for us by our forefathers and keep down the center of that path.
Right. Amen.
It's one thing
Amen.
That they haven't learned. If you're going to push too far, we are going to push back and bring you back in line. Plain and simple. You know, we will make compromise, but not at the cost of our souls.
Oh. Amen. Could you repeat that? Say that again.
We will make compromise, but not at the cost of our souls.
Yes. That's you put that very well. I mean,
it's a matter of morals and ethics. They're going to turn around and
right.
say, oh, you have to be ethical about this. Whenever I hear someone throw the word ethic at me, I cringe. And I say, no, it's more about morals. And the difference being is that a moral man knows what is right and simply acts on it. An ethical
right.
man also knows what's right, but will debate you. And I would
right.
rather be a moral individual. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. Thinking about moral and ethical, I don't know if anyone caught Neil Cavuto last night. I mean, I was on the floor hysterical laughing, absolutely hysterical. He had on, talking about the left pushing way too far, he had on this chick from Occupy, and she's trying to explain why they are closing down the ports. Now, this doesn't make any sense to me. They wanted to shut down the ports. You got a Christmas holiday season, and the ports were trying to bring in all the shipment and everything for the holiday season. And one of the trucks
right.
happened to have been a Walmart truck, and he had all this load of meat. And he's saying, I'm losing money, but if I don't get this year, I will be penalized even further. One guy says, I'm losing $600 a day. This is Christmas time. I can't afford to lose $600 a day. People went home earning absolutely nothing or just a tiny bit of their paycheck in a holiday season. And this is the mindset of Occupy. They want to penalize the 1%. Instead, they are hurting the 99%. So Neil Cavuto had this girl on. She's trying to explain the Occupy and why they're closing down the port. Bear with me if I start cracking up. I mean, even Neil finally got so pissed that there was the first time I saw him actually get angry on the air. Let me play this. Neil Cavuto yesterday with this Occupy girl.
Okay.
This is a fight for freedom, old top.
I'll do it. For America.
Okay. Here we go.
Today's Occupy protests in Portland shutting down at least two terminals. Workers there told not to show up. So are these protests hurting the people they are meant to help? Carrie Cox doesn't see it that way. She's with Shut Down the Ports, part of Occupy Portland. Carrie, good to have you. Why are you doing this?
Hi, thanks for having me. We're out here today to shut down Wall Street on the waterfront. We're part of a coordinated West Coast port shutdown, and what we're targeting is the 1%, the elite of this country who utilize our ports as one example of how they make immense amounts of wealth. And we were here today to shut that down for one day, but also to symbolically show that this is an important issue that we're going to continue to talk about.
Carrie, a lot of these ships carry toys, teddy bears, TV screens, electronic gadgets, that make their way to the 99% buying stuff for Christmas. This could lead to a delay in them getting that stuff for Christmas. How is that benefiting the 99%?
Well, what we're talking about here is how working families are being affected by the current economic system.
Well, I just told you. I just told you how they're being affected. A lot of them aren't going to get their items inside for Christmas.
Well, I think that a lot of working families consider being able to pay the bills and being able to have have security in their retirement, being able to have health care, equally as important to being able to buy teddy bears for Christmas. And what we're talking
about here is that doing that? How is shutting down passage of commerce and things getting to and from in this country way beyond the 1%, just stuff getting and moving around this country that go way beyond Wall Street. How is that sending a positive message to people who will just be going nuts at Christmas time waiting for goods they thought were en route to shelves, and you're saying you're teaching a bigger lesson?
So what we're saying here is that workers are being targeted in more ways than one by the 1%. And here at the ports of Portland, people like Goldman Sachs operate through companies such as SSA, Stevedore Services of America, at our ports. And that was one of the terminals that we targeted today, because we see that the wealth that's being created through these ports is not going into the pocketbooks of the workers.
Well, wait a minute, Karen. Are you saying that Goldman Sachs has branched out into shipping, that if it invests in a company, no matter the amount, it is that company, it is a shipper, it is that even if it takes a small stake in a company, any one of these companies, you are guilty by association, and those companies are going to be targeted by you?
Goldman Sachs is a majority stakeholder in SSA. They have a port.
What about all the other shippers? There are 23 shippers in that corridor. Mm-hmm. Now, all of them have been affected by your actions today. Most of whom, I would imagine, have very little to do with Goldman Sachs. So for making a statement about one brokerage firm that you might not like, you are hurting longshoremen and others who have no association with the firm, and shoppers all over the country who don't even know what you're talking about. All they know is you are disrupting the hell out of their lives.
We are disrupting the 1% and their capacity to make money today. I think that what we're seeing
You're talking about the 1% as if they're one group and the only group affected by your actions. I'm just telling you, by what you're doing today, mm-hmm. you are hitting everybody today, but you don't seem to care. If you can make a statement to go after the 1%, or in this case, Goldman mm-hmm. Sachs, then you're happy with that. Screw everybody else.
So the workers have shown unwavering support of this action up and down the West Coast.
No, they haven't. You've got even union. No, they haven't. You've got even union guys who are saying.
Poor truck drivers in Los Angeles.
No. Carrie, they're not. They're telling you now they've had enough. This is silly. That's what they're telling you.
No, they are not. They have shown support for this action. They have not crossed our picket lines. The poor truck drivers in Los Angeles, some of the most vulnerable workers at the ports, were one of the groups that called for this.
Where is the service workers union? Where is the longshoremen's union? Where is the AFL-CIO? Where are the sympathetic strikers?
Everybody
where are the very people who...
Clear.
These are unionized shops mm-hmm. that you're going after, unionized shipping concerns you're going after. Even the union guys on those ships are saying, this is scaring me shipless. This is stupid. Who
are
these people killing us?
Anything of the like. So what's happening is that workers have shown unprecedented support for this action.
I just told you they're not.
You're inaccurate.
Okay. All right. Well, you know
what? Workers did not cross the picket line today in Portland, Oregon, and we had their support. They sent us pizzas on the picket line, and
who sent you pizzas on the picket line? Who?
Rank and file workers.
Rank and file workers from what union sent you pizzas?
Rank and file unions from port worker unions have sent us pizzas on the port. We have seen that they did not cross the picket lines today.
Okay, so the 11 unions that are affected by transport in and around this area, one representing the rank and file sent you pizzas, and you glean from that that you have got universal mm-hmm. support.
You glean from the fact that Goldman Sachs only owns stake in one company on this port that the 1% isn't profiting extremely off of our port.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. You are tarring by association, Carrie. You are tarring by association a company or firm mm-hmm. or a shipper because it has an interest, or Goldman Sachs has an interest in it, with everyone else associated
yes,
with
are.
That shipper and all the
we're saying that Goldman Sachs
you know Carrie if you did that
with
races if
Goldman
you
Sachs.
Did that with races they would haul your ass into jail.
I don't even know what you're referring to.
Yeah, you know what? I don't even know what you're talking about.
What
but you're a waste of time.
Is...
Carrie, you're a waste of time. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We're
going to
have a lot
that.
More after this. But this is what I'm talking about, folks. Nothing is making sense. We'll have more after this.
Wow. Wow.
Mike, you've got to comment on that one. Come on, Mike.
I don't know what quite to say.
Wow.
Because this one union sent some pizzas. The unions are in favor of shutting down the ports. Meanwhile, I saw yesterday on three different stations, three different unions. One was longshoremen. I forget what the other two were. Three separate unions each said that they are hurting. Occupy is hurting them. They are not supporting this. They said this is the wrong thing for them to do. But this one other union, whatever nut job was running this union, sends them pizzas, so it's all okay.
I seriously doubt. You know something? The worst, when there's a cause, this whole big picture of the cause is very valid. How corporations own politicians and basically are running the country. And there's ways to go about changing things, such as getting rid of these criminal politicians.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me really wonder. I don't know when their first sit down was for these the Wall Streeters, but I mean, how many days do you just have off to basically, whether you're in a port or in a park, whether you're at a downtown or, I mean. Well, man, these people either just never, ever, ever under any circumstance work, or they certainly have a very good vacation plan or time off plan at their current job.
But yes, it's the 99 weeks. That's why they're part of the 99%. The 99 weeks of unemployment.
I agree with what that lady's saying regarding Goldman Sachs, but the way you go about it is by getting rid of the politicians that continue to hand-based, because bailout with Goldman Sachs has been going on forever. It's with Citibank, East Manhattan, and Goldman Sachs that loaned Mexico $1 billion back in the 90s. And it was when they were going belly up, of course, we bailed them out, basically just to pay back the U.S. banks. But the bottom line is, when you have a cause, you have to have a spokesperson with at least some brains. This girl... Anyway, Neil Cavuto is a good business person, but he's not a very smart, intelligent commentator. You can debate him and seriously show that he's really not. He's your standard Fox commentator. I mean, he's just a Nazi of the GOP. But the bottom line is that this lady couldn't even answer the question. Why in the world, it doesn't matter if it's a union or non-worker, why would you support shutting down your job? I mean, they don't support that. That's insanity.
No, absolutely. I agree. We're down to our last minute and a half now. Thomas, I want to thank you for calling in. It's been a pleasure. I want to let everyone know we will be back again on Friday. And we'll probably carry on more about Occupy Wall Street and other issues that are coming up during the week. We've had some debate coming up also. We'll start discussing that. And please join us again next week on Friday as we come back again at 2 o'clock. And any final statement, Mike?
God bless America.
That's a good one to go. So until then, I say adieu and hope to see you again on Friday. Good night.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've
face.
Been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense, the proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
American.